Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. And welcome the visitors, those that aren't normal here. There's some that have visited fairly often. Thank you, Willis, for your support and coming and visiting. And I was thinking yesterday, it dawned on me, you know, we were at a wedding yesterday, and just nice to be around family, and we've gone various ways as time moves on, and I'm just grateful for family. I'm grateful for the church here. We have so much to be grateful for, just health and strength and sound mind, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have been raised in a Christian home and just to believe God's truths. God is faithful. Thanks, Mike, for those songs. And so this morning, I'd like to start with a story out of Exodus. Exodus 32, if you want to turn there, we'll be referring back to the scripture throughout. This will be the basis of my message today. And Exodus 32, verses 1 to 14. We will read those verses. The whole chapter is about the idol of the golden calf. I'll be reading out of New King James Version. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation." Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, 'He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.'" So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. I'd like to talk today about intercessory prayer. I don't know if that term has occurred to you, but that is what we would call that, what we could say that Moses did here on behalf of the children of Israel when God thought to bring judgment on them because of them turning away. Verse 1, we see first of all how sin entered the people's lives, how quickly they turned from sin. We see in verse 1 that Moses delayed his coming down. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 18, it says that Moses was in the mountain for 40 days. He delayed coming down. So it was quite a bit of time, like more than a month. And interesting, I didn't study of why the 40, but that number keeps coming up in the Bible too. And how soon the children of Israel became impatient and discontent. And I think we also, we are born of a sin nature. And if we would go 40 days without the Word of God or without God's guidance, if we stay out of church, out of the Word, and not pray, yeah, our sin nature will take over. And so we got to continue to be in the Word of God, and so that we don't turn the way of our sinful nature that we are born with. And next, I'd like to just point out how that God's wrath, in verse 10, it says, "Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them." God's wrath was justified. The people had turned away. They had turned to other gods. The wrath of God is holy action of justice towards persons whose actions deserve eternal condemnation. Romans 2:5 says, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed." And I found interesting that in Psalm 90, there was a heading above my chapter, and it said, "A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God," is the heading on top of Psalm 90. So all of Psalm 90 is a prayer from Moses. And in verses 7 to 12, it says, "We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set your iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And so we see that even in that Moses had a proper perspective of who God was. Moses realized the wrath of God and how real it was. In Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, it says that Moses did not fear the king, rather feared God. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And we are not to fear those who can kill the body, but we are to fear God, who can kill or take both soul and body and in hell and burn them. And I think too many times we probably lack a understanding of God's wrath, which should instill a fear in us and an urgency to intercede for others that aren't ready to meet their Lord and Maker. Moses had that proper perspective of God. And we find where Moses intercedes. In verse 11, "Then Moses pleaded with the Lord," and he realized that God had was justified in consuming the people because of their turning away. And back to Psalm 90, Moses' prayer, verses 13 to 17, Moses prayed, "Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad for all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants and your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. And back to Exodus 32, verse 13, we see where Moses reminds God of the promises he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Did God need to be reminded of that? Did God forget what he had promised them? No. It just occurred to me, like it would seem as simple as the people sinned, the people were without God for 40 days, the people sinned, fell away from God, served other gods, and God's wrath. He was talking of consuming them, but Moses interceded. Moses interceded on behalf of the people, and God changed his mind. That's what it looks like to me. I'd like if we could look a little bit more at qualities of Moses here. And we know in the first verse that Moses delayed in coming down. He was with God for 40 days straight up in the mountain. He had relationship with God. And it was there 40 days. Moses was communing with God. We will never be ready to intercede for someone if we don't have a relationship with our Heavenly Father who can help. We need to be prayed up. Do we use good times to commune with God, to be into His Word, and to so that we can be ready for whatever comes our way? Too many people use extra time for the cares of this life, and we read that the cares of this life choke out the Word of God. Our effective response in critical times is directly related to the time spent with God the Father. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. If any man comes to me, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We can't intercede without God the Father. We must tap into the power source and have a relationship with God. And the next thing I'd like to point out with Moses that he was motivated. He had motivation. And this motivation, I think, comes from his understanding of who God was, God's wrath. Moses had a proper understanding, comprehension of God's wrath, which put an urgency in the matter to intercede. He knew what was going to happen when God said he would consume the people. Next, we see that Moses was unselfish. Moses was totally emptied of self. We find that in verse 10, where it says, Now therefore, God said, Let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation. God said, I'll just start all over. I'll wipe them out, and I'll start with you, Moses. Moses was very unselfish at that point. The very next words right out of Moses' mouth was, it says that Moses pleaded with the Lord his God. Moses wasn't in this for selfish gain. He wasn't going to have a Moses nation. He wanted God to be lifted up. In verse 13, Moses, in a sense, recommits to be on board with God's bigger picture. This was way bigger than anything Moses was going to do. This was God's deal. He chose the children of Israel, and it was his deal. And for the home folk, I'd like to, if you'd allow me to quote once again from George Mueller. I know I've put this up in a couple of my sermons, but it just keeps coming back to me. George Mueller said, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people generally is just here. 9/10 of the difficulty are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what his will is. And in this situation, George was referring to if you want to make a decision, is it God's will or not, okay? But I think that's fundamental in all prayer, that we don't have our own agenda when we are interceding for other people, that we don't have preconceived ideas, that we totally lay down self. And the last point I want to point out is the commitment that Moses had. As we go down through the chapter here in Exodus 32, verses 1 through 6 is where they built the golden calf. They fell away and they served other gods. They built the golden calf. Then 7 to 10 talks of God's wrath. 11 to 14, Moses intercedes. Then 15 through 29 is dealing with sin in the camp. Verse 15 says, And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. Then he deals with the people there, talks with them. Down to verse 29 it says, And Moses said, Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother. Then in verse 30 through 35, Moses pleads for Israel again. Verse 30, Now it came to pass in the next day that Moses said to the people, You have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written." This was before Moses hadn't read the book of Revelations yet. Like we have read of the book, Lamb's Book of Life. But he made that statement. He was willing to die, or not only give up his physical life, but eternity for the people of Israel. "Forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written." Paul makes a similar statement in Romans 9:3, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren." How committed are we to the cause of Christ? Are we in it through thick and thin? What about the examples of Daniel in the lion's den, or Joseph sold as a slave? What about the three Hebrews that were thrown into the fiery furnace? They knew God could save them. They didn't know he would, but he was able. They knew that. And they said, so we're going to keep serving God. They didn't buckle under pressure. And so as we review here the life of Moses and his being an intercessor here in Exodus 32, Moses had a relationship with God. Moses understood God's wrath and was motivated, sensed an urgency to intercede on behalf of the people. Moses laid down his agenda. He could have had a Moses nation. He could have, started up brand new. It was bigger than Moses. It was God's plan. He was in it for the long haul, for what God had. And Moses was totally committed, even if it would have cost his life. We too have sinned. We have all sinned. We have all fall short of the glory of God. And God's wrath is just. We all deserve to die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Christ has interceded for us. Isaiah 53, verse 12 says, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong," talking about, prophesying about Jesus, "because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." That was for me. That was for you. Christ is really the greatest intercessor ever. And he also prayed for us. In John 17, we read of a prayer he had for us. Currently, Jesus is sitting at God's right hand, interceding for us, pleading on our behalf. 1 John 2:1 says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who pleads on our behalf. I talked some of how Moses interceded, and that's an example for us. And I really believe if Moses would not have interceded, that God would have destroyed the children of Israel. It says that he would have consumed them with their wrath. We read of another time when the Israelites fell away from God, but there was no intercessor. In Ezekiel 22, verses 29 to 31. "The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the strangers. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand at the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and have recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord." Today, God is looking for intercessors. Will he find one? Today, God is looking for people that will intercede for the lost and dying. 1 Timothy 2:1 says that we are even to intercede for those over us. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. When's the last time we intercede? I think too often I go to prayer for myself. I think too often I pray for my own needs. And God is wanting us to intercede for others. I'd like to share with you yet a devotional here that I read a couple weeks ago. The agony of prayer. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Luke 22:44. Prayer is not difficult to understand. It is difficult to do. When was the last time your heart so grieved for those you were interceding for that your entire body agonized along with your mind and heart? We are a generation that avoids pain at all costs. That's why there are so few intercessors. Most Christians operate on the shallowest levels of prayer, but God wants to take us into the deep levels of intercessory prayer that only a few ever experience. Deep, prolonged intercession is painful. It involves staying before God when everyone else has gone away or sleeps. It involves experiencing brokenness with the Father over those who continually rebel against him. How many of us will experience this kind of fervent intercession? We long for Pentecost in our lives and in our churches, but there's no Pentecost without Gethsemane and a cross. How do we become mature in our prayer life? By praying. When we do not feel like praying is precisely the time we ought to pray. There are no shortcuts to prayer. There is no books to read, seminars to attend, or inspirational mottos to memorize that will transform us into intercessors. This comes only by committing ourselves to pray and then doing so. Why not accept God's invitation to become an intercessor? Don't allow yourself to become satisfied with shallow, self-centered praying. Stay with God in prayer until he leads you to pray at the level he wants you to. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your being here today, God. Oh, God, help us to really understand who you are, to really see and understand your wrath on sin that is so prevalent around us. I pray you'd help for us to not just only picture you as a loving God. You are so loving and merciful and gracious, and we thank you for that. Help us also to see your wrath and to understand that and to fear you, and that it would cause us to urgently cry out to you in intercession on behalf of friends that are lost. God, I pray you'd put on our hearts someone to pray for this week. I pray that you would continue to do work in and through us. We thank you, God, for your love. We thank you, God, for sending Jesus to intercede on our behalf, to die for our sins, to appease your wrath. We thank you for your holiness. We thank you for your righteousness. We thank you for your word. We praise you and pray you'd continue to be with this service. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.